Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at election security.
Ooh.
You know, it's something that we've all been thinking about a lot lately. And, you sent us a really interesting article about a cyber attack on Georgia's election system.
Right.
And this is serious stuff, right? Like, how do we make sure that our elections are actually secure?
Well, this attack really highlights how vulnerable these systems are. The article mentions that they targeted the Georgia website for requesting absentee ballots, which, that's no accident.
Because absentee voting is so important now, especially for the last few elections. It seems like anyone who wants to disrupt things, that's what they're going to go after.
Yeah, that's a critical target. Absolutely.
So what happened?
So it was a DDoS attack.
Okay, can you break that down a little bit? What does that actually mean?
So DDoS attack is basically like a digital denial of service attack. So imagine, like, you have thousands or even millions of computers all trying to access the same website at the same time. It just overwhelms the server, clogs up the network, and basically makes the website unusable.
So they basically tried to DDoSing the site,
Exactly.
overload it with traffic, and knock it offline.
Exactly. It's kind of like, remember when we tried to get Taylor Swift tickets and Ticketmaster crashed? Imagine that, but on election day.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. And it's a tactic that's like, becoming more and more sophisticated.
Really?
Yeah, it's not just a bunch of computers spamming a website anymore. Attackers are using botnets, which are networks of computers that are infected, and they can control them remotely
Oh, wow.
to launch these attacks. And, they might even hijack like unsecured IoT devices, like smart refrigerators or security cameras,
Oh, wow.
and use them to amplify the traffic. And sometimes they even use AI-powered tools to make the attacks more effective and harder to defend against.
Wow, AI.
It's getting crazy out there.
Okay, so it's not always about completely shutting the site down, right? Like, even slowing it down could cause chaos and, make people lose faith in the election.
You're absolutely right. Even temporary disruptions can have a huge impact. It kind of sows seeds of doubt, creates confusion, and makes people question the legitimacy of the process. It's almost like a form of voter suppression, discouraging people from participating because they just don't trust the system.
So how did Georgia fight back? The article mentioned Cloudflare, a cybersecurity company, was involved.
Yeah, Cloudflare is a major player in this space. And it seems like they played a really crucial role in mitigating this attack. They essentially acted like a shield, using their massive network and sophisticated technologies to absorb and deflect all that malicious traffic. Think of it like a digital bouncer, only allowing legitimate requests through.
So they had this giant digital bouncer protecting the website.
Pretty much, yeah.
What kind of tech are we talking about? How does that even work?
So Cloudflare uses a bunch of different techniques to combat these DDoS attacks. One of the most common is something called a web application firewall, or a WAF. It's essentially a filter that sits between the website and the internet, and it analyzes all the incoming traffic and blocks anything suspicious. And then another technique is rate limiting, which restricts the number of requests that a single user or IP address can make in a certain period.
Oh, so it's like a speed limit?
Exactly, like a speed limit for the website traffic. And if there are too many requests from one place, then you get flagged. And they also use like advanced analytics and machine learning algorithms to identify patterns and anomalies in the traffic that might indicate an attack, so they can stay ahead of the curve and block threats before they cause any damage.
So it's like a constant arms race.
Absolutely.
They're getting more sophisticated, so the defenders have to as well.
Yeah, it's a constant back and forth. But it's not just about the technology, it's about understanding the motivation. Why target elections in the first place?
Because disrupting elections undermines trust in democracy, creates chaos, and can even influence outcomes.
Exactly.
But is there more to it than that?
There's definitely a lot more to it. The objectives can range from something as simple as sowing discord and distrust to something as serious as trying to manipulate the outcome of an election.
Okay, so let's break that down a little. What are some specific examples of how attackers might try to disrupt an election?
Well, one common objective is to spread disinformation and propaganda. Trying to influence public opinion or discourage people from voting altogether. They might create fake social media accounts, spread rumors, conspiracy theories, or even hack into legitimate news websites.
So they're trying to manipulate the information landscape, create confusion and doubt so people don't know what to believe.
Exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah. Another objective might be to directly interfere with the voting process itself.
What? How?
Like, they might try to hack into voter registration databases to, like, alter or delete records, preventing people from voting.
Oh, wow.
Or they might target electronic voting machines, trying to manipulate the vote counts.
That sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. Is that even possible? Are electronic voting machines really that vulnerable?
That's a really complex question, and there's a lot of debate about that.
Yeah.
Some experts argue they're inherently vulnerable to hacking, while others maintain that they're secure if implemented and maintained properly.
So there's no easy answer.
No easy answer, no.
It definitely raises some concern.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there's the issue of espionage. Even if they don't manipulate the outcome of the election, they might be able to gather valuable intelligence by hacking into the election systems.
So they could steal data, like voter information or campaign strategies or even like classified documents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that information could be used for all sorts of things. Blackmail, sabotage, you name it.
It makes you wonder, is Georgia just an isolated case or is this a broader trend?
Unfortunately, it's definitely a broader trend. Georgia has been a recurring target, in fact.
Really?
Yeah. Remember earlier this year in April?
Yeah.
That incident in Coffee County where they had to disconnect their entire voter registration system because of a security breach?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So Georgia's been hit multiple times already.
Wow.
And, you know, this is a key battleground state.
Right.
And with the 2024 presidential election coming up, it's a prime target for anyone looking to interfere.
It's almost like they're testing the waters, seeing what they can get away with. If Georgia's been targeted this much already, what about other states?
Well, that's what's concerning. The article mentions a report from Microsoft about Iranian government-linked hackers probing election-related websites in other U.S. swing states.
So it's not just a Georgia problem, it's a national problem. We're talking about foreign governments potentially trying to interfere with our election.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have a really robust and layered approach to election security. We need strong partnerships between government agencies and private cybersecurity firms like Cloudflare. We need advanced security infrastructure to detect and mitigate these threats, and we need to be constantly monitoring for suspicious activity.
Okay, so we've talked about the threats and how they're evolving.
Right.
But what can we actually do to protect these systems? Where do we even go from here?
That's a great question. Luckily, there are a lot of things that can be done. The article highlights a company called Technigion, which specializes in providing cybersecurity solutions for organizations.
Okay.
They offer a wide range of services, from comprehensive risk assessments and vulnerability testing to incident response and recovery.
So it's like having a team of digital bodyguards constantly on alert for threats.
Exactly.
They can find the weak spots, put up stronger defenses, and help you recover if something does happen.
Exactly. They also offer training and awareness programs to help employees recognize and avoid phishing scams and social engineering tactics.
Which is huge because, let's be honest, sometimes people are the weakest link.
Absolutely.
We click on things we shouldn't, we fall for scams, and that can open the door for all sorts of trouble.
Absolutely. That's why user education is so critical. It's not just about having the right technology, it's about having a culture of cybersecurity awareness at all levels.
So you're saying it's a team effort.
It is.
We need the tech, we need the expertise, and we need people to be aware of the risks and take steps to protect themselves.
Exactly. It's a shared responsibility.
Yeah.
And the more we understand about these threats and how to mitigate them, the better equipped we'll be to protect our elections and our democracy.
Well, this has been a lot to digest, but we're not done yet, are we?
Oh, there's more to unpack here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's still a lot of questions to explore. What does all of this mean for you, the listener? What steps can you take to protect your own information and make sure your vote is counted?
Right.
We'll delve into those questions and more in just a minute.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground, from DDoS attacks to botnets, you know, from Georgia's election woes to Iranian hackers poking around in swing states.
Right.
But let's bring it back to our listener for a second.
Sure.
This all sounds pretty scary, right? Like, what can they actually do to make sure that their vote is safe?
It can feel a little overwhelming, but I think that's why we're doing this dunk dive in the first place.
Right.
Knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
Even just understanding the threats is the first step to protecting yourself.
So let's get practical. What are some steps that our listener can take?
Well, first off, be aware of what's happening in your own state.
Okay.
Don't just rely on national news,
right.
You know, see what your local officials are saying about election security. Are they partnering with cybersecurity firms?
Yeah.
Have there been any recent incidents or vulnerabilities?
Right. Because the more informed you are, the less likely you are to fall for, you know, those scams and disinformation campaigns that we talked about.
Exactly. And speaking of scams, let's talk about phishing.
Okay.
This is a big one, especially during election season. Be wary of any emails or texts that look like they're from election officials.
Yeah.
Especially if they're asking for personal information or login credentials.
Right.
Legitimate officials are never going to ask for that stuff over email or text.
And it's so easy to fall for those, too. They look really official.
I know.
They even have, like, the logos and everything. So what's the rule of thumb?
If you're not sure, don't click any links, don't open attachments, and definitely don't reply.
Okay.
Go directly to the official website or contact them by phone to verify.
Yeah.
Better safe than sorry.
Good advice. Okay, so we got to stay informed, watch out for phishing scams. What else?
Let's talk about securing your own devices and online accounts.
Mm.
Strong passwords are crucial.
Yes.
I know it's annoying, but use a password manager if you can.
Yeah.
And enable multi-factor authentication wherever it's available, especially for email, social media, and any accounts related to voting or elections.
Right, because if they get into your email, they can probably reset passwords for other accounts.
Exactly, like a domino effect.
Yeah.
And those multi-factor authentication codes, those little six-digit numbers, they add an extra layer of protection.
Right.
Even if someone steals your password, they can't get in without that code.
Right. And don't forget about software updates.
Oh, that's a big one.
It seems like a small thing, but those updates often include patches for security vulnerabilities.
Absolutely. Keep your operating system, your web browser, your antivirus software, everything up to date.
Right.
It's like basic digital hygiene.
Yeah.
But it can make a big difference.
Yeah.
Like washing your hands to avoid getting sick.
Right.
It's a simple habit that can prevent a lot of problems.
Okay, so we got a lot to think about here. Securing our accounts, being wary of phishing scams, staying informed. But zooming out a bit, what does all this mean for the future of elections? Are we always going to be playing this cat and mouse game with cyber attackers?
That's the big question, right? And there's no easy answer. The threat landscape is constantly evolving. We're likely to see more sophisticated attacks in the future, especially as technologies like artificial intelligence become more powerful.
Right. So it's not going away anytime soon.
It's not going away.
What can we do to stay ahead of the curve?
One thing that gives me hope is the growing awareness of the importance of cybersecurity.
Okay.
We're starting to see more collaboration between government agencies and private cybersecurity firms and even international organizations. There's a recognition that this is a global challenge that requires a collective response.
Takes a village, right?
Exactly.
We all need to work together to protect our elections.
I think the more we talk about these issues, the more we educate ourselves and each other, the better equipped we'll be.
And that brings us back to the importance of this deep dive. We're not just summarizing an article here. We're giving our listener the knowledge and tools they need to be more informed and more proactive.
Absolutely. It's about empowering people to take action, to be vigilant, to ask questions, and demand better security from their elected officials.
So it's not just about protecting our votes. It's about protecting our democracy.
You hit the nail on the head. And I think it's time we move on to one more fascinating aspect of this story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Intrigue me. What else is there?
We've talked a lot about the technical side of things, but there's another dimension to this conversation, the human element.
Okay.
And we'll get into that after a quick word from our sponsors.
Okay, so we're back, and you were going to tell us about the human element of election security.
Right, we've spent so much time talking about the firewalls and botnets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, security is also about people.
Okay.
It's about the choices that we make, the information that we trust, and how we engage in the democratic process.
So it's not just about building stronger systems, it's also about building stronger citizens.
Exactly. Think about those disinformation campaigns we were talking about. They work because they exploit our human biases and vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
They prey on our fears, anxieties, our desire for simple answers in a complex world.
Right. So even with the best tech in the world, we're still susceptible to manipulation.
Exactly.
If we're not careful, we can't just outsource our critical thinking to algorithms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why media literacy is so crucial.
Okay.
We need to be able to critically evaluate information, identify bias, and discern fact from fiction.
Yeah.
And that's a skill we all need to develop.
So it's like we need to be our own fact checkers in a way.
Exactly. Question your assumptions. Look for evidence. consider different perspectives. Don't just trust what you see on social media.
Right.
Or even what you hear from people you agree with.
And this all ties back to what we were saying about staying informed, right?
It does.
We need to be proactive about seeking out reliable sources.
Absolutely. But it goes beyond just reading news articles.
Okay.
It's also about engaging in thoughtful discussion. Listening to different viewpoints and being willing to change our minds.
Yeah.
When presented with evidence.
It's about being an active participant in the process, not just a passive consumer.
Exactly. And I think that's where the article about Technigian really hits on something.
Okay.
They talk about the need for training and awareness programs.
Right.
Not just for IT professionals, but for everyone.
You're talking about those programs they offer to help employees recognize phishing scams and other social engineering tactics.
Exactly. But imagine if those kinds of programs were more widespread. What if we taught media literacy and critical thinking skills in school?
Yeah.
What if we had public awareness campaigns about the dangers of disinformation?
Right.
And the importance of election security?
It's like that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we can equip people with the knowledge and skills to protect themselves, then we can make it that much harder for these attacks to succeed.
Precisely. And I think there's a real opportunity here to build a more resilient and informed electorate. It's not just about protecting systems. It's about empowering our citizens.
It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in safeguarding our democracy, online and offline.
Absolutely. I think that's a really powerful message to leave our listeners with.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much. We've talked about DDoS attacks, and we've talked about the broader societal implications of election interference.
Yeah.
But most importantly, we've explored what we as individuals can do to protect ourselves, our communities, and our democracy. So thank you for joining us for this deep dive into election security. And remember, knowledge is power, and together we can make a difference.